Hello, my name is Marco Benevento. These days I've been playing piano and singing a lot here with my band.
Every time I went to school between New York and Albany, where do you stop? The Socrates rest stop.
Yep, and right? Somehow I wound up living there.
Amazing.
Not in the rest stop. I moved on to a bigger house, but yeah, it started in the rest stop.
And you were born exactly 20 years, not exactly, but 20 years after me. No, before, no, after me. That's right. Livingston, New Jersey, piano age 7, but I'm about to blow your mind bigger. Ask me what high school reunion I went to last year. Ask me.
Okay. What the high school reunion did you go to last year?
What if I say Viola Road?
Wow.
What if I say I lived on Nancy Lane in Elmwood Heights near Eckerson Road?
Whoa.
What if I said that's where I grew up?
That's not far from where I grew up.
That would be Ramapo High School.
Yeah. I had a great English teacher. Who was your English teacher?
Oh, God. What was it? Mrs. Lyman, maybe? Oh,
okay, I know.
Genres drive me nuts. And when you're you, I'll do it in quotes, genre bending.
Right?
Now, I also, by the way, went to grad school at BU, which means that I had a ton of friends who went to Berkeley.
Yeah, yeah. Right. A lot of people think of music school as an oxymoron, and which is true to a degree, because when you're, you know, when you're playing music, when you're touring, and when you're booking shows and making records, there's no school involved in that. It's all music, it's all art, it's all you trying to figure out. It's basically you after the school, hopefully. I mean, you're always learning with music, but there's something about you know, putting out records and playing for people that has nothing to do with school. It's just, you know, you being yourself and you know, entertaining and playing music. That if some people want to talk about the theory of your song, cool.
But how much did so when you're in there and you are being told you have to subscribe to theory?
Well, the good thing about theory is that it's just a way of talking about what you already know, and it allows you to clarify in words what sound might be. But, you know, in the end, theory has nothing to do with you making art. You know, it's just a way to describe, you know, what it is that you're doing. Like knowing the rules of a football game or something, you know what, you know, second and 10 means, you know. And, you know, in theory, you know what the 2-chord is, or a 5-chord, or a 1-chord. And some people, you know, 50-year-old musicians, or, you know, older or whatever, they don't know about 2 chords and 5 chords and 1 chord. Some people don't care about that. I've learned over the years playing, and sometimes that's not the way to, you know, talk to other musicians about music with. Sometimes it is. Some people understand that. There's no right or wrong way to talk about music. And sometimes theory can confuse people, you know.
That's why it's theory.
That's why it's theory. Personally, when I was, you know, 15 or whatever, and I found out that a deceptive cadence meant, you resolved from, you know, instead of G to C, you resolved from G to A minor. And I thought, oh, wow, that's what the name of that is. And I remember, like, it's like learning, you know, what it's called. I mean, it's just what it is. But as you write music and figure out what it is that you're doing, and theory, you know, who cares? In the end, it's like, who cares about theory? It's G to C to D minor to blah, 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 whatever it is. And that's the way I feel like musicians eventually talk about music. You know, that's how they talk about music. But anyway,
the new instrument that has come into your life, otherwise known as your voice.
You know,
that's an interesting premise, right? Because you're not new at this.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, of course. I mean, growing up, I sang. I mean, I in high school and even before. You know, my dad sang. My mom did. My uncles. You know, we would always sing if we were hanging out, if we were playing music or something. And then I got into instrumental music, like, and I still am into instrumental music, and we have about 6 records that we have out right now, and 4 of which are instrumental, and 2 I just started singing on. So, singing is my sort of, you know, the added instrument to the band. It's almost like an extension of the keyboards in a way. There's a lot of, like, long melody lines that I'm singing, and but anyway, yeah, I love singing. I'm really learning a lot about writing lyrics and about writing melodies and about how the words work with a song. You know, I don't I was always into instrumental music, and I still am, like I said, but now I'm sort of opening the door to I guess poetry and coming up with a story and things like that, and it's a lot more challenging than I thought, so I'm just trying to get better at it, I guess. So that's why I'm working on our 7th record right now, and there'll be a lot more vocals to come.
Well, you really decided to test your art, because there's live albums, as in you're in a club, you're in a venue, and they record it live, and then there's live albums where you go, I'm going to do this in front of a live audience, and that's a lot of planning. It must have been, number one, that studio must have had an amazing live room.
Yeah, Applehead Recording you're talking about in Woodstock, New York. Yeah, it's an amazing live room, and if you're ever there, you should go check it out. So there was about 100 people in the studio, and there was also this like spiral staircase you can go up. They had, you know, it's a really tall, I think it may be 40 or 50 foot ceilings. I mean, it's huge. And, you know, there's a spiral staircase that goes up to like a little...
And is it an analog studio?
Yeah. It has a Neve board. It has, they have a tape machine and whatnot. I don't think we went to tape that night.
That would be really brave.
That would be pretty brave. I mean, not that we did any editing after the fact as far as that is concerned, but it's, you know, I guess for ease, it was just done on the computer. But yeah, they do whatever you want over there. Great space. You know, it was like a big yard too. They have a bunch of animals walking around too. They have a gigantic pig and like a bunch of goats that are running
around. Just in case you need an oink in your...
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Everybody needs...
Right. Exactly. A giant pig, nonetheless. I mean, it looked like a statue and didn't move for a minute, and then it moved, and I'm like, oh my God, that thing is real. But anyway, it's a beautiful farm, barn-type recording scene in Woodstock.
21 minutes and 56 seconds. That's kind of brave. And yet, you sometimes open the set with it. That's a suite that goes on for a long time. And so the modern audience, it's not, we're not talking Yes. We're not talking Grateful Dead. We're talking a much more groove-based sort of thing, right?
Yeah, you definitely nailed it on the head as far as the comparisons. You know, sometimes people, when you tell somebody you're working on a 7-song suite where the songs sort of go into each other, I mean, some people think like Rush or like, you know, the Grateful Dead or
prog rock.
Prog rock stuff. And, you know, this compilation of 7 songs is like the opposite of that. It's what you just said. It's like LCD sort of long party rock songs or Talking Heads, sort of a longer form of various, you know, 2 chords or 3 chord type songs. You know, not many changes, just more, you know, drum machine and dance and percussion and, you know, different keyboard sounds and things like that.
But that's the thing. When people try to earmark what you're doing, right, and they're like, well, it's a little jazzy, but wait a minute, right, there is a little bit of this here, but it might be kind of middle of the road, it might be, and then you turn around and go, no, it's the music, and I say this in every conversation I have on the artist, it's the songs, it's all about, the songs dictate what the genre is in the long run, right?
Absolutely, I mean, I remember hearing an interview of Dr. John talking about music, and the guy asked him, the interviewer said, asked Dr. John, you know, how would you describe your music? And it was great. I love that. And he's like, I like to think of music as 2 kinds of music. There's good music and there's bad music. And I like to think our music is good music. And I thought, amen, you know.
I know, but you get asked it every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, I get it. Quite honestly, I like to wonder and try to talk to myself even about what the heck I'm doing. And you know, and my dad even mentioned once at a gig, he's like, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I thought to myself, like, right, what am I doing? What is this music? It's like this, it's this somewhat hard to describe, you know, I don't know, dance. I feel like I feel like I'm just writing the music and playing the music that I want to play, and it happens to fall into many different categories.
Songs.
But yeah, I'm more along the lines of LCD, Talking Heads, sort of. You know, even Krungbin, the band that's playing in a little bit, who we love as a band, actually, my bass player Karina bought me the record. She's like, you got to check these guys out. They're amazing. Anyway, we've been listening to them a lot, and they're playing in a minute. And they've been here for a couple of days, and they were like, you know, we haven't heard anything that's really sparked our attention. And then we heard you guys today, and we really, really enjoyed your set. Like, it's like, you know, we love all the drum, the Casio drum machines you guys have, and the sort of, you know, vibe that you guys have. It was great, and I thought, wow, that's, it was just really nice to hear from them, because we also love them as well, and it was sort of nice to just have, you know, peers that are into each other's music. But you can't, even Krangbin, I couldn't describe, I don't know how I describe their music either.
Is it urban myth or true that David Bowie gave you your diploma?
It's totally true. You know, I you know whose hand I shook before David Bowie's?
Who's that?
Wayne Shorter.
Wow, okay, see, there you go.
So those are two. Yeah, those are two. I mean, you know, everyone, they don't even care about the 4 years and all the time I spent there learning and figuring out things. It was more about the, really? Wayne Shorter and David Bowie gave you your diploma? That's great.
When people try to box you in, do you think it's just so natural that it's almost impossible to do?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like if I almost intentionally tried to box myself in for a record per se or for a show, it would feel so,
it fails,
it wouldn't work at all. I feel like just giving them what it is that I got is the best way to go.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by anybody else in between, and I basically play 40 minutes of solid music.